Turn to John, chapter 14. I know I say this a lot, but if I had a scripture, a chapter that I love, it would be this chapter. This is a great chapter. It's a powerful, powerful chapter. John 14, 15, and 16, and 17. Oh, so powerful. So let's look at John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. So Jesus is about to leave the earth, and he is not going to leave without preparing everybody. So these are the last words of a man who's about to die. Whatever he's going to say is really important, because he's finishing up his ministry. God's about to call him home, so now he has to say everything that he hasn't said yet, so that he says everything he's supposed to say. So John 14 is one of the last discourses that Jesus has with his disciples, and he knows that they're about to kill him and suffer and all that stuff. So he's going to say these words. Now, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be troubled in your heart. You might be troubled in your soul. You might be confused, but don't be troubled in your heart. Let not your heart be troubled. I tell you, that's the secret to my life. That's the secret to your life. To have a heart that's never troubled. To have a heart that's never troubled. Though the world may be this and be that and so on and so forth, your inside there's a peace, a knowing, a knowledge, a certainty, a confidence that God's in the heaven, all's right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how things are. We could lose everything and lose nothing. If you lost everything, you'd lose nothing. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? So don't worry about believing that. Just start saying it until you believe that. Preach that to yourself. Just say the words and let them go right around here and go into your ears, down into your heart. Let not your heart be troubled. Lord, my heart is not troubled and it never will be. Why? Next part. You believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in God, you can tell here that the Jesus only group is wrong. Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong. Because here he's saying there are two different ones. You believe in God, believe also in me. Apparently, me is not the same as God. Doesn't mean Jesus isn't God. What it means is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Somehow God is one, and somehow he's not one. You're baptized into a singular name, God. But you're also baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So a lot of argument about that and so on and so forth about, you know, all the stuff people say. But we don't care. We don't get into all that silly stuff. You know, it's not, you know, like big smart theologians have figured all this stuff out. You can read for yourself. Here's Jesus talking in normal English. You believe in God, that is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Father who created the world. But Jesus was also there, and so was the Holy Spirit. You believe in God, believe also in me. That is arrogant on Jesus' part. If me isn't equal to God. You believe in God, also put me in there. You know, it's like, whoa, that, you know, God is God. No, Jesus is saying, no, you believe in God, believe also in me. I'm putting myself on the same plane. It's a very exalted thing. Otherwise, he's a blasphemer. I wouldn't put my name in there. You believe in God, believe also in me, Pastor Jim. I wouldn't do that. That would be blasphemy. I wouldn't do it. I don't want to do it. No. You believe in God. But now God himself honors the Son. And if you dishonor the Son, you've dishonored the Father. The Father is the one honoring the Son. So Father and Son. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's, oh, he tells who God is. My Father. In his house. But I'm his Son. How many know that the Father is not greater than the Son in terms of divinity? He's greater in terms of government. but not divinity. Jesus is just as much God as God the Father is. The Father is God, so is the Son God, so is the Holy Spirit God. One is not more God than the other. But in government, the Father's over the Son, and the Holy Spirit is common to both of them to serve them. The Holy Spirit never calls attention to himself. You ever notice that? The Holy Spirit never speaks about the Holy Spirit. He's never talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always talks about Jesus, and Jesus always reveals the Father. So the Father always honors the Son, and the Son always sends the Spirit, who always reveals Jesus, who always reveals the Father. That's the way it goes. They're all talking about one another. But they're doing it not because they're not equal. They're all equal. They're doing it because they're equal in dignity and value and worth and holiness and glory and majesty and power. But they're not equal in government. In government, out of love, it's love that makes the Father and the Son in a relationship that's peculiar. The Father could have come down and died rather than the Son. But because the Son loved the Father, and because the Father loved the Son, the Father who made heaven and earth sent the Son as the apple of his eye. And the Son said, Dad, I'll go for you. Let me go for you. Now, the Son didn't have to go. Could have been the Father. Could have been the Holy Spirit. Let's send the Holy Spirit. He's the little guy. No, the Holy Spirit was equally powerful. At any rate, I don't want to get into all the Trinity. Just simply saying that Jesus is saying these words to comfort his disciples on the last day. He doesn't explain everything. He doesn't need to explain it. I don't want explanations on everything. I do not require explanations. You know, the Western mind, well, could you explain that? For what? For what? Why? Because is your brain able to grasp the Godhead? I think so. Try me. It's like, I don't think so. Well, it's like water, H2O. One is ice, the other is water, the other is steam. I don't think so. You know, you're not going to make an analogy to figure out the Godhead. So just leave the language, whatever it is, I believe in it. What does it mean? I have no idea. I'm just going to do it. I don't need to know all those fine points. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, theologians can pretend like they're really going deep, deep, deep. You're not going any deeper than what these words say. If he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I can see that the word name is singular, and I can see that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not singular. I'm not going to be, that does not trouble me at all. I don't know what it means. I don't really care. It's a mystery. And that doesn't mean it's like stupid. All that means is I don't need to dig into it. I understand, you know, there's a oneness to it and there's a threeness to it, and I'm okay with it. Well, do you believe in three gods? No. Because there's one God. Well, how come you believe in a three-headed God with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I don't believe in a three-headed God. Well, how can it be? I don't know. I really don't care. All I know is you can't get me to say whatever you want me to say. I don't say it's three gods, and I do say it's one God. But I don't say it's one God like the Jewish people say it's one God. I say it's one God like Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the way I say it. Why? That's where the Bible talks. I don't want to get beyond the Bible. The Jewish word written on the back wall is Bereshit, in the beginning, God, Elohim. The im on the end is the plural. So God, the creator of the world, was plural. I don't need to have that explained. I don't really care. I know he's one because the verb bara, Bereshit bara Elohim. I know bara is a singular. So God, plural, singularly acted. So whatever it means, it's okay with me. And it's totally consistent. The language is always consistent. There's never an inconsistency in the language. It's only my pea brain that's trying to, you know, come up with something that I can put God in some kind of box. So I deny that God is three gods, and I deny that God isn't one, and I deny that he's just one in the one sense. I say he's three. You see? I can say all that without any contradiction because it's no contradiction to me. He's one in his Godhead, deity. There's not four, and there's not two, and there's not one. Somehow he's one in agreement, but he's also three in his personhood, that there's a holiness kind of ministry, and there's a mercy kind of ministry, and there's a kingly, royal, powerful kind of ministry. It's easy, prophet, priest, king. I can see it. It all makes sense to me. And it's so consistent, so absolutely beautiful and consistent, that I don't really need to know all of that. I mean, I can find it in the Old Testament, I can find it in the New Testament, it's always the same. So I say all that to say, here's Jesus, who is the embodiment of God. He said the whole Godhead dwells in me bodily. I don't need to think about that. Well, is it kind of like a cannibal? Those questions are not really interesting to me. But I know for some people, they got to kind of like, if I could just get that solved, I'd believe. Lie. Solving that is not going to make you believe. You need all you need to know just by hearing this story. And don't try to know more than you have to know. You ever tried to know stuff you aren't supposed to know? Be like a little three-year-old saying, now teach me trigonometry. First of all, they can't say it. Second of all, you can't. So don't bother. You know, tell me all about sex. You can't. That's not the time. Later. You know, there is certain things you can't know. Jesus himself said, you can't bear all things now. So you don't have to know everything or whatever. But it doesn't mean it's blurry. It's not blurry. It's crystal clear. So just stick with the tradition. The tradition is not wrong. But of course, there's some weirdos and so on and so forth. But it's just normal kind of human discourse. God knows how to write. If he wanted to make it clear, he would have. If he wanted to leave it, you know, whatever it is, it is. And I love it. I love just the way God does it. And I fear him. I respect him. If he said more, I'd believe more. If he said less, I'd believe less. Here's what he said. That's good enough for me. It's enough to save me. It's enough to sanctify me. It's enough to finish the job. It's all I need to know. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Because people... and you probably don't even care about this, but a lot of people argue over all this stuff. Well, I want to know how many angels can fit on a head of a pin. I don't know. Quite a few, I think. That kind of stuff is stupid. Now, what if a mouse gets on the altar table, and that's the real body of Christ, and the mouse eats that crumb? That's the kind of stuff that people have talked about over the years. And it goes on and on. I mean, religious people are nutcases. But I don't blame them for asking those questions. It's normal kind of questions to ask. I just don't think we have to dignify it with an answer. It's just like, you know, it's just like, well, it's a great question, but I doubt that what you just said deserves an answer. Now, did the mouse eat the body of Christ? And then does he have Christ in him? And, you know, it's this kind of stuff. How many of you know that we all have imaginations? We can all think ridiculous things that you don't need to think. Here's what I think. If God wanted you to know, he'd say it. So whatever he put down, it's enough. It's not only enough, it's more than enough. You don't need to know any more than what God put down. So I'm sticking with the letter of the law, the letter of the word, and the Holy Spirit will answer all my questions about that word and will satisfy me completely. And I am satisfied. I'm not a stupid person. I'm a smart person. I've been highly educated and smart. But it doesn't add a thing. Smart doesn't help. There's nobody that has big words that I don't know. So it's not like, well, you don't know everything. You don't need to know everything. I have all the smarts I need. I know I've got them. But it doesn't help anything. I'm just in love with Jesus. And you can't get beyond that. You can't say, well, I'm going to get beyond where you are. You can't. There's no way you can get beyond the little kid that says, Jesus loves me, this I know. It's about as deep as you can get. It's enough to make that little child happy and sing that song around the house and believe in Jesus. That's as far as you're going to go. I go there every morning. Every morning I start out in juvenile kindergarten school with God. God, here I am again, sitting on my potty, just letting you love me. That's the way I start out every day. I don't start out dignified, great, smart. This is Pastor Jim speaking. I don't have any of that. It's just to start out as a little kid every day. God, let's go over it again. Now, you love me, right? And, you know, I had to start out with going over it one more time. I say, well, let me get the gospel straight again. Now, I don't do anything, right? You do, you know. And I rehearse that every day. Because every day you could fall into legalism or license and not end up as a lover. So every day I want to be clear on that. Now, let me clear. Because my mind is so deceptive. I could fall into a trap. So I got to start out in kindergarten every day. Goo, goo, goo. You know, God, let's go over it again. Now let's see. You want me to go like this. I love you, Lord. Good, good, Jim. Good, good boy. God loves me. He gives me a kiss. You're a good boy. I love you too. I love you too. I love you first. I love you first. You know, little kid talk like that. That's the way every day to be happy. Is anybody like me? Because you better be. Because I'm right on, you know, whether you know it or not. That's the way. Just be a little child. Unless you enter the kingdom of God as a little child, you will not enter. And every day you start all over again. You know, you don't get saved every day, but you get sanctified from the beginning every day. Still pride comes up. Still lust comes up. Still anger comes up. Still bitterness comes up. Still all those sins come back again. Have you ever noticed that? That they don't go away permanently? Does anybody notice that every day pride shows up again? What are you doing here? I thought I kicked you out yesterday. Yeah, come back. Maybe you want to use me today. There's pride. You know, I could use him. That could be me today. You know, fear comes every day. How about an hour or two with me? Yeah, I was thinking of that. Yeah, okay. What are you going to do for me today? You know, fear can come up any day of your life. You every day have to conquer fear again. Every day you have to conquer anger again. Every day you have to conquer bitterness again. You know, don't say, well, that never comes up. You definitely haven't spent any time with God. Because if you start spending time with God, you'll see that every sin in the book, it's right there. Amen? So every day you want to get rid of that. God, forgive me for anger, bitterness, jealousy. You know, you can just make the list. You don't have to feel good about it. Just make the list. God, forgive me for being a murderer. For, you know, and even though you haven't done the deed, that doesn't mean it couldn't come up. How many know there's murder buried down deep in your soul? Not in your heart. You got a new heart. Jesus is in there. But you still got it in your soul. And the soul has to be destroyed every day. That is the flesh of it. The soul has to be cleaned out every day of the flesh, ruling it. Your spirit isn't ruling over your soul every day until you rule over it. Your old man could rise up again. It's like the South. The South shall rise again. You know, well, your old man's like that. It'll try to come up again. People relive the war again. You know, hey, this could be your day. You can almost hear the devil. Jim, this could be your day. Wow. I might fall for it. You know, you could be somebody today. Wow. Yeah, I never thought of that. Wow, it's a temptation. This could be your day for anger. You know, that's good. I'd like that. I've got a lot of anger stirred up. I'd like to have a little use for it. And did you know that every day you could get angry? Something could happen and it could make you mad. Did you know that? Is everybody aware of that? That every day you could fall right back into anger just like that. Somebody could say something and it just sets you off. It's amazing. You think, well, thank God I've conquered that one for sure, forever. I don't think so. So I got to start every day in kindergarten school. And here, I like this one. This one's a good one. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So he's telling us something you couldn't know. How many mansions are there? How many rooms are there in the palace? How much room is there? Have you got room for all of us? We got a big family. You got room for all of us? Yeah, there's room. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, many places. We got room for all. How many know there's room for everybody at the foot of the cross? You know, you can just go through the cross to come unto God. God wouldn't turn away anybody. Adolf Hitler, he'd let him in. All he has to do is repent of his sins like everybody else, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized, and be saved, and so on. So it's not impossible. But as far as we know, Adolf Hitler didn't repent. He may have, maybe at the last sinner. Second, he and Eva, hey, let's get on our knees, you know, this thing may be over. Heil. You know, he may have just, you know, said, you know, let's cut this German stuff out, and I don't believe in that all of a sudden, now the bomb's coming in, and, you know, and you know, you don't know, but I doubt it. The guy was, you know, crazy, a fool, demonic. But, hey, praise God, I hope there's hope for him, because I might be in that condition. That was one of the Jewish problems, by the way. The Jewish problem was, what if Adolf Hitler is demonic, and what if we're like it? The problem wasn't that he was. The problem was, I wonder if we are. You probably don't understand that, but that's a fear, a deep fear, is how inhumane can a man be? And then the second thought is, what if we are? They think it's a shallow thing just because they say we're victims, we're victims, we're victims. Don't think they don't know that maybe they victimize themselves. They're very well aware. They're not stupid people that have to be taught. They've thought of it. It's deeply troubling to you when you look at people and you judge them. Because with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. Now, what God wants us to do is start as a little kid each day. And here's what he's saying. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. How many know you can soul can be troubled, but that's not your heart? This is your heart. Cardia. This is your heart. Don't let your heart be troubled. Your soul, he'd say, tsuke. But this is not tsuke. This is cardia. Let not your heart be troubled. How many know your heart is not troubled? You know what keeps it untroubled? You believe in God. Believe also in me. That settles your heart. Whenever I want to know what God the Father is like, I look at God the Son. Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. All I have to do is see Jesus and I've seen the Father. So I can't see the Father. He's upstairs. I've never seen him. He's hiding. He's behind a cloud. He's got clouds all over him. I don't know what he's like. He wrote a book. You can read all about him right here. He wrote a book. Then he sent his son down and said, everything I wrote in the book, live it. Go down and show him. This is the way it's like. Show him the kingdom. So Jesus came down and they said, well, just show us the Father. If you could just show us the Father, we'd be satisfied. He said, no. If you've seen me, if you've seen how I am, if you've heard me, if you've watched what I've done, you've seen the Father. That's a powerful thing. You believe in God, believe also in me, let not your heart be troubled. If it were not so, if there aren't a lot of rooms in my Father's house, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So everybody here has a place to go. It's not here. What's your name? Give your name. What's your address? You give your address. It's not your name and address. This is not your name. This is not your address. This is not our home. Heaven is our home. Here is just, we're just pilgrims, strangers, aliens, green card holders. This is not our home. This is not where we belong. I've been bought with a price. I've been purchased, redeemed out of this place. This place is going to perish. This church will not endure. This building, this physical facility. But you and I will live forever and ever. And ever, for ages to come. When this world perishes, we will never perish, because Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, I will not only display his glory here to prove that I'm one of his, but I will also forever and ever, ever and ever and ever live in his presence, live with him forever and ever. It's gonna be, I don't even know what it's like. I just know it's wonderful. I like everything I've seen so far. But someday I'll see him face to face. I've never seen him face to face. I've had a vision of God. How many here have had visions of God? I mean, I've really had a real, 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 honest to goodness vision of God. How many here have ever had? I could scandalize you by the one I saw. But anyway, you'll be surprised when you see God. He might surprise you what he looks like. But I won't say it. And if I go and prepare a place for you, everything that God has ever done was for you. Everything that a parent does should be for the children or for the wife. In other words, but the parent, everything they do is for the children. Everything I, Pastor Jim, do as a pastor should be for you. It's not for me. It's not for my ego. It's not for my pleasure. It's not for my benefit. It's for yours. And that's why God wastes away pastors, just wastes them away. Instead of me eating you, I'm supposed to be feeding you. There's a little difference. It's a little difference between eating you and feeding you. That's the difference between a chicken who lays an egg and a pig who gets eaten his bacon. You know, one's contributing a little more than the other. So you don't want to eat the people, destroy them, devour them, eat them up. You want to feed them, give them. So don't worry about yourself. How can you not worry about yourself? How could I not worry about myself? Easy. So easy. He worries about me. He takes care of me. So why would I care? So people abuse me. So people rape me. So people lie to me, cheat me, steal from me. I don't care. I got plenty. I'll just go to God. God, they robbed me again. God goes, it's okay. I already put it in before you asked. You did? Yeah, check in the box. Oh, yeah, thanks. And God, you know, when people take advantage of you, how many have ever been taken advantage of by somebody that you trusted and so on? And they took advantage of you. You loved them. I really love those people. You know, and they take advantage of you. So what? God is your supply. People are not your supply. You don't give in order to get. It's not an investment. If God be for you, who can be against you? Let them be against you. What can they take? Your flesh? Can they take your spirit? No. Can they take anything of value? No. Can anything of value be lost? No. Anything you put in the heavenly bank cannot be robbed. Anything you have in the earthly bank can be taken. So my gosh, I wouldn't put anything here where rust consumes and moths eat. Put your treasures where they can't be lost. That's where all my treasures are. I don't have any treasures down here. I'm sorry. I don't. I don't have any treasures down here. Not my grandchildren, not my wife, not my church, not my bank account, not my wonderful personality. I don't have any treasures down here. Y'all? Yeah, I don't have anything saved up. I don't have anything. I got everything up in the heaven. It's kind of like when Israel came down to Egypt and his son said this. His son's name was Joseph. He said, Dad, come on down. It's neat down here. No famine. No famine. The best of the land. And you know what? They got stuff here. Don't bring any of your stuff. Leave your stuff. Isn't that neat? Don't bring anything to heaven. Leave your stuff. You don't need all your stuff. Man, some of us are working so hard to get our stuff together down here to have a little heaven on earth and so on. And there's a snake in every garden. I mean, anything you try to, you know, make it eternal or immortal or something like that, it's going to get ruined or decayed or something. Have you ever seen these old gravestones? Somebody put up a stone, it's going to last forever. You know, a couple hundred years later, you go and look at it, you can't even read it. Even the rain wore it down. What's that, God? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Boy, what a promise right there. Jesus is coming again. Woo! Glory to God. That is exciting to me. And I believe it's soon. It doesn't matter if it isn't soon. I'm getting ready anyway. It won't hurt that I get my dress on earlier. Get prepared. Jesus is coming. And the ice cream's melting away and, you know, the balloons are flopping over and so on. But I don't care. Okay, get them new balloons. Get some. I think he's coming. And how many times have you thought he was coming and he didn't come? I thought he was coming in 88. Then I thought he was coming in 96. Then I thought he was, you know, and so on. I thought he was coming in a lot of times. I had it pretty much worked out. I have found that I've been very consistently wrong. You know, I just have found that. And so I tend not to rely on myself anymore. And I tend not to care when he's coming. But I just want to make sure when he comes, I'll be ready. And I don't care the when. I used to want to figure out the when. You know, so I can keep sinning until the when. You know, just get right before. Now I've just decided to just stop sinning and get ready right now. Have you ever thought of that? Has that ever occurred to you? Get ready early. You could practice, you know, getting yourself ready. In case he comes, you have to depart. You don't get the saved stuff. Eat it now. We got stuff from Y2K still. We have never eaten all those beans and that corn and all that stuff. I mean, we got enough to feed the church. We really do. And I think we talked a lot of other people into it too. But It's probably still good. We put bay leaves in it and did it, you know, all that stuff, and I think it's still vacuum packed in there. But we still got our water. We got those big water barrels. In case something happens, you know, we're gonna nuclear attack or something. We got water. We got it stacked up in barrels. It's stupid. It was not smart. It might have been better. It's not bad to make a plan. It's just bad to rely on that plan that you made. We've got bullets and Bibles and batteries and, you know, all the things you could possibly have. But I was, you know, prepared. But I wasn't scared. I just did it. No, I'm sorry. I prepared. Praise God. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. So Jesus came once. Now he's coming second time again. And this time, he's not coming for sinners. He's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Remember the first time he said, I didn't come for the righteous. I'm coming for sinners. Next time he's coming for the righteous. It's us. Woo-hoo! See, he's coming for us because I wasn't righteous the last time. Now I've gotten cleaned up a bit, and the Holy Spirit's working on me night and day, trying to get me ready in time. He's coming. Jim, are you ready? No, not quite yet. I'm not ready yet. My hair's a mess. So be ready, because he said, don't be troubled in your heart. I won't come too early. I'll come just right on time. See, I think Jesus has probably delayed a little bit, maybe because of you and me. Maybe we weren't ready. It says the bride has made herself ready. I don't think we have. So maybe he's delayed. I don't know if he's delayed or not. I thought he was going to come in 96 for sure. I had that worked out just like that. I had my calendars, my numbers, everything. But that didn't happen. Did it? I mean, it didn't, did it? I mean, we're not in heaven, are we? We're not in the other place, are we? And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is a powerful, powerful thing. I'll come again to what? To receive you. In other words, he will come and he'll stand there, and we will come unto him and he will receive us. Next, Jim Borchert. You know, and it'll be my turn, and he's going to receive me. How do you plead? Oh my gosh. Innocent. Pure. Spotless. Hush. He's just asking me. Perfect. All right. I'll check your record here. Oh, wow. Yeah. Now, how did you answer? Look at this on September the 13th. You know, so did you do this? What is it? I thought the Holy Spirit told you about that. Yeah, I wasn't listening to that day. Yeah, that's down here too. Anyway, so I'm still going on perfect. I'm still that's your final thing? Yep, that's it. Well, you haven't done a lot of good works here. I can see this. You're kind of short on good works. Yes, sir. That may be true. Well, how are you getting in? What's it say on the other page? It's loaded. This other page here is loaded with bad things you've thought, said, done. Man, this thing is loaded. This would take hours. How you plead? Innocent. How's that? You have to be perfect to get in. You don't have, do you realize you have so little going for you? As a matter of fact, this side here is so heavy, and this side here, it's got one item on it. It's got one item on it. This is all it's got. So how is it you're pleading innocent? Well, what is the item? It says here you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're trusting in him for all your good works. Is that true? Yes, sir. So this is your only righteousness? This is all you're going to rely on? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know what? You know what God's going to say? Well done. Well done. You're not counting on any of the good works you did. You're only counting on the works of Jesus. He did them for me, sir. I think if you'll look there, it'll probably say he did those for me. He said he did it for all mankind. I'm one of those. Well, let me see if you're listed here. Bees, Borchert. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, you're right. Okay, enter into the joy of your master. And God's got me in. I love it. I didn't have a leg to stand on, but my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus, that got me in. Let not your heart be troubled. See, my heart wasn't troubled. My heart wasn't troubled. When he showed all the sins and pointed those out, didn't bother me a bit. I knew they were all covered under the blood of Jesus. Did you see a little blood spot on each page? Yeah. Yes, I do. Well, when you see the blood, just ignore everything on that page. Whoa, gee, you've smattered. This thing is splattered totally. Okay, well, you're in. So the blood of Jesus has covered me. Does anybody have the confidence I have? That I don't know how much is on the good work side over here, because I don't know how much Jesus did. But I know this, that he had to do it when I stopped doing it. Whatever I didn't do, he had to cover for me. And I have a feeling that my works weren't perfect, but all of his works were perfect. So I'm going to take his perfect works, and I'm going to get his reward. Whatever Jesus gets, that's what I want. I believe if you ask him, you'll see I'm his girlfriend. I'm the one he loves. He wants to marry me right after this judgment is over. He's going to marry me. Father looks over at the son. Jesus, is this the one you're talking about? Okay, you're right. You're the girl. We'll have the wedding right after this. Okay, to the right. Next, and Jesus is going to judge you perfect because of your faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. Because you put all your faith in him. You didn't put any faith in yourself. You didn't put any faith in your goodness. You didn't put any faith in some church. You didn't put any faith in some doctrine, some teaching. You put all your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever he did, that is all you want. That's all he's wanted. Doesn't want you to have any other God, any other reliance, anything that you did or anyone else did. Just wants what he did, because his work alone is perfect. It's so full that you can't add anything to it, nor can you take anything from it. And I'm just relying on what he said, and you know, I don't really care. I've totally given my heart to that. But I know my soul is full of all kinds of things, but I'm not counting that. Because he doesn't count it. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you to myself. I'll receive you. And here's what he says. That where I am, you may be also. Isn't that amazing? Wherever Jesus is, that's where I am. You know why? I'm his beloved. I'm the inheritance of God. I believe that God's going to inherit me. Here I am. I know I'm wrapped funny, but still, I love you. He said, you sure are wrapped funny. Boy, don't go by the wrapping. Go by, well, what's inside. It's what's inside that counts. You see, God may not look like God. Jesus may not look like God, but he is. Don't go by the wrapping. Don't go by the appearance. Judge with right judgment. The reason Jesus is going to accept me is because God only accepts that which is covered in the blood. He only accepts that which relies totally on his word. He only accepts that which has been wrought in God by the Holy Spirit. Everything Jesus did was wrought by the Spirit. It wasn't wrought by Jesus. It was wrought by the Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? Even Jesus, he had no works of his own. He said, I haven't come to do my works. I haven't come to do my will. I come to do the will of my Father who is in heaven. So who did it? The Spirit of the Father. The Holy Spirit did all the works that Jesus did. Isn't that amazing? Jesus didn't do them. He never did them. Jesus didn't do any good works. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, that threw some of the guys right there. Because his disciples said, well, one of them said, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? That's a great question. How many, if you had been there, we'd have asked that question. And you know the way I'm going. And I said, Lord, wait, don't go any further. We don't know where you're going. Listen to how Jesus answers them. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. How can we know the way? I am the way. Wow, what a great I am the way. I am the door. I am the bread. I am. Not I will be. Not I was. I am. I love the amness of God. Right now, this minute, this second, not what happened 5 minutes ago, not what's going to happen next 10 minutes. Right now, God am. And I am, because I'm in him who am. And I'm loved by him who am. Therefore, I am. Isn't that amazing? You see, before I met him, I was not. I appeared to be, but I wasn't. Now that I've met him and heard him and fallen in love with him, I am. And he's not going to marry some inferior. The minute he announced to me, Jim, I'd like to marry you. I'd like to have you as part of my bride. Okay. I want to be that. I haven't done anything good, though. Well, I don't want you to do anything good. I've done all that. Well, I mean, what's it cost? Zero. Well, okay, I've got it. I've got zero. That's how much I have, zero. Okay, I'm fully paid then. Yeah, it's prepaid. Prepaid? Somebody paid for me already? Yep, I did. Did you get my wedding dress? The dress I sent you? What's it look like? Pure, spotless, white. Was it yours or mine? No, I sent it to you. It was my good works. Yeah. If that's the dress you're talking about, the one that came in the mail that I thought didn't belong to me, yeah, that was for you. Didn't you read the sign? Wow, you mean you gave me that dress? And I didn't have any good works. So I was thinking more of a bikini, but the one you gave covers everything. The one you gave is perfect. You see, God wants us to come before him dressed in his own good works, not in ours. God doesn't want you dressed in your own goods. Remember there was a guy one time, one of the stories he told, about some guy that snuck into the wedding party and he had a nice set of clothes on, but they threw him out. They bound the guy. Say, how did you get in here, friend? Well, I just walked in the door. I saw her handing out peanuts and stuff. It's a wedding, isn't it? Yeah, but were you invited? No, but I saw the peanuts. Thought I could come in. No, you can't come in. You have to have a wedding garment. The one you have on is not acceptable. It's your own good works. That's not acceptable. Well, everybody in town knows me. It's not acceptable. Well, I was a pastor. It's not acceptable. I was the Pope. It's not acceptable. I don't care what you come in. You can't rely upon anything. You got to have his clothing. His clothing is pure. It's perfect. And it wasn't wrought down here. You didn't make that dress. You didn't buy that dress. You didn't purchase that dress. It's a gift. The only way you can get into heaven is to put on the garment that he sends you, his righteousness, clothed in his clothing. You come before him pure and spotless. How can I be pure and spotless? Because Jesus did it. Jesus has given you your garment. It's not a wage paid for your goodness. It's a gift given to the one that doesn't deserve it. If you deserve it, you don't get it. It's for someone who doesn't deserve it. That's why I didn't, when I read that, in the name on that thing, I thought, this probably not me. It says, for someone who doesn't deserve it. Well, that can't be me. I'm sure I deserve something good. No, it's for someone who doesn't deserve anything. Well, I hate to admit that. I hate to admit I don't deserve anything. I think I was better than so-and-so. Wasn't I better than so-and-so? No, you don't wear this dress if you're better than so-and-so. Oh, okay, well, maybe I do need a dress and I can't see any other. Okay, well, I'll take this dress, I guess. I guess I don't deserve it. You've got to know you don't deserve to get that dress. It's a gift. It's something the Lord says this is for you. But one thing you have to do is repent. You have to admit, I don't deserve this dress. And that's who it's written for, the person that doesn't deserve it. That's amazing. This is upside down world. It's totally as though it's not of this world. This won't make any sense in this world. This must be from another world. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. What about Buddha? No. What about Muhammad? No. What about Hindu eight-way philosophy pillars, truth? No. What about, you can't get in any other way except the name of Jesus. That's so narrow. How many know that this Christianity is a narrow way that you can't get in by any human goodness? You can't get in by any human merit. You can't get in by any good religion or whatever it is you thought of. I went to the elephant god every day and I put some beer and some flowers on the altar there and so on. I was faithful every day. You can't get in. Well, I didn't play golf. I didn't goof off. I never committed adultery. I think I should get in. No, you can't get in. You have to have failed. You have to have failed and then let Jesus cover you. That's amazing. The only way we're all going in is it's failures. I feel that some of you qualify. I don't know, I'm just guessing here, but I feel some of you are definite failures. Could I see a show of hands? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I see that hand, yes. With every eye closed and every head bowed, yes, I see that. So you have to come in as a failure. You have to. You have to have a banged up, goofed up life and just take it as a free gift. Say, I don't know, what are we doing in here? I don't know, but let's eat the peanuts. This is great. It's one of the things I look forward to when we go to weddings is those mixed nuts. I don't really like all the cake and all that stuff, even the champagne, so I'm not going for that. But I like those peanuts. I used to go and grab one of those, look and get a bunch of those on my little plate. I like weddings. Don't you like weddings? I don't really care who the groom was and the bride. Just get the peanuts and stuff. Sometimes they have fruit, too. And sometimes they have cheese and those little crackers. I like those, too. I'm in for natural. A lot of depth to me. You can see why I can only get in through the blood of Jesus. It's the only way I can get in. Otherwise, I wouldn't qualify. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is such a tremendous statement. You cannot get to heaven. You can't get into the Father except through Jesus. The only thing I need to say before the Father is, I've trusted in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And the Father says, that's it. That pleases me. You have done exactly what I want. You have to the letter. You have done exactly what I want. It's exactly what I wanted. I just took. I didn't give. I took. I didn't give. I was selfish. I took. I took. That's exactly what God wants. You know what pleases a parent? Is when the child takes and smiles. That so pleases a parent. Not when they earn it. Well, Dad, did I do good enough to get this? That doesn't please a parent. A parent wants to be the one that gave. Not because they deserved it. Not because they were good. Not because they were worthy. It's just because you're mine. See, the thing that pleases the parent, you're mine. Whether you came in by adoption or whether you got in by, whatever method or means, natural, it doesn't make any difference. You're mine. And in the church, we've become brothers and sisters. We all belong to Him. We're a corporate bride. One, but many. Just like God. One, but many. It's a mystery. If you had known me, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Did I get that right? I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know Him. Wow. From this moment on, you know God. Now, the word know is gnosis. From whence we get the understanding, because there's several words in Greek that mean to know. Edo, that's a word also. But this word, gnosis, means to have an intimate, personal, internal knowledge of God. not an abstract truth about God. You have to know God intimately, experientially, from the depth, from his internal being. Not just, oh yeah, I know God. Isn't he the one that wrote the Bible? Not like that kind of knowing. Wasn't he the one that made heaven and earth? Not like that kind of knowing. Not knowing about. Knowing him, having intercourse with him continuously. That's why he's going to say on the last day, many are going to come to him saying, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, depart from me. I don't know who you are. No. We did many mighty works in your name. You did them? I don't know who you are. If you did them, I don't know who you are. Because I only accept my own works. If you did those works, if you're talking about works, and you're not talking about faith in my works, you're talking about your own works that you did in my name? You did works in my name? You did them? I don't think so. I would have known you had you done that, because you would have come to me as a failure, and I would have given you a free gift. But since you claim you did them, depart from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. You see, it's not doing for God, it's knowing God. Gnosis. You have to know him intimately. If you had known me, you know the Father. You don't have to know the Father. You can't know the Father. No man can know the Father. No man can come to the Father. No one can know the Father but by me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can know the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known Gnosis, the Father. To have intercourse with me is to have intercourse with the Father through the Spirit. That's why we know one another, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Henceforth, we know no man after the flesh, but only after the Spirit. Don't know me after the flesh. Know me after the Spirit. But you can't do that unless you know the Father through the Son, by the Spirit. That's the only way you could know me. That's the only way I can know you. Otherwise, we can't commune and communicate. So you can't know your husband or your wife except through the Spirit. You can't know any man except through the Spirit. To know a man after the flesh is not to know anything. It's only to know the external, the outward. You can never penetrate to the inward, because the inward is evil. Apart from God, you can know anything. You can't do anything. You can't have anything. You aren't anything. Everything is a gift of God. This whole creation was created by him. Unless it's filled with his Spirit, you can't know what's going on. You can't be part of it. Otherwise, you'll perish with this world. This whole world is judged. Everything in this world is shaky. Nothing in this world is stable. Nothing remains the same. Anything you look at, it's not certain. It's totally confusing. The only thing that's solid is what's perfect from above. Never changes. It's always solid, fixed, eternal, unchanging, immutable. That is God. And that's what you need. You need that rock in your life that never changes. A husband? Changeable. A wife? Changeable. Pastor? Changeable. Everything in this world. Church? Everything. All of it. The only thing that's not changeable is God. I change not, saith the Lord. So God is actually emotionally the strength of my life, intellectually the strength of my life, spiritually the strength of my life, materially the strength of my life. In every way, to know him is to possess everything. If with Christ Jesus he freely gives you all things, I lose nothing. I gain everything. So I give up all that's in this world that's passing away in order to take all that is eternal, everlasting, unshakable. Everything that's shakable in this world will be shaken. The Lord said, everything that's shakable in this world will be shaken. The Lord said, everything that's shakable, that is everything that's not eternal, not everything that's not built on the rock, anything that's not stable, solid, unchanging, fixed, in love, it'll pass away. So whatever you have your hope in down here, your reputation, your strength, your brilliance, your beauty, your goodness, your greatness, your glory, it's going to pass away. It's nothing. The only thing that's lasting is what he said, what he did, who he is. That was before the foundation of the world, and that will be after the foundation of this world. So what's the point of the world? That you might be redeemed out of the world before time ends. It's a race to the end of time. But your end of time could come tonight. You never know when your end is going to come. And when that end comes, you want to be with boldness to enter into the presence of God and say, I'm one of yours. I belong to you. I will never perish. Anyone who believes in me, Jesus said, will never perish. Yea, though he die, yet he shall live. I tell you, that is a great way to live. No wonder my heart is not troubled. I'm not just saying that as an act of faith. I'm telling you, my heart's not troubled. I really believe, though I've been a scoundrel and everything else, and that's why I can say it so easily, because it doesn't scare me at all. In fact, it's my only claim to fame, is that's why I came. I came because I had to repent, because I just was a scoundrel. I was a worthless person, but thanks be unto God, he's covered me, exchanged his life for mine. He took all my pain upon that cross, and he said, Jim, let me bear all your pain, your worthlessness, your evil. Well, thank you, Jesus. I mean, you're taking it all, every bit of it. How much do you want to give me? All. I mean, you're right, I don't have anything. What you're taking is garbage. It's no good. It's worthless. Well, I'll pay full price for that. Oh, no, it's worthless. No, I'll pay for it. Okay. Now, what am I getting? You'll get everything I have. Okay. That's good, because his stuff lasts. His toys don't break. His clothes never wear out. You ever buy toys for your kids, in a few minutes, a lot of them are broken. Hey, don't step on that. We just bought that. They got so many toys, they're just stepping on them all. Ah, you stepped on my new doll. Broke it. You know, it's all right, because Jesus' toys never break. The things he gives you, they're everlasting. They're unshakable. Shake the world all you want, because that which is unshakable cannot be shaken. When the Lord one more time shakes the foundations of the earth, you will never be shaken. When death is swallowed up, you will not perish, because you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I tell you, that's my way, my truth, my life. No one comes to the Father but me. If you'd known the Father, you would have known me. If you've seen him, you've seen me. If you've been with me, you've been with him. Henceforth, you know him. You have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, wait a minute. I just want to ask you a question. Show us the Father. Then we'll be satisfied. Could you just show us him? You're saying we know him and see him, and I don't have that. Philip, he said. Now, Jesus is not mad at Philip for asking this question. It's a great question. Jesus said to him, Philip, have I been with you so long? Philip, you still haven't got on. It's kind of like being a pastor of this church. I think, how many times do I have to say it? It's not your works. And it goes like this. The words go out over the first pew, and then they get to the second pew, and pretty much used up by the third pew. And, you know, it's like people just glaze over. And they don't disagree. It just doesn't penetrate. And you have to repeat it 2 times, 3 times, 6 times, 20 times, 1,000 times. It's like a parent with a child. You know, how many times do I have to tell you? It's like people, I don't know, Mom, I just didn't get it. I didn't hear you. Did you hear what I said? I guess not. I don't know. Little kids are just scared that they didn't get it. But thanks be unto God, he's a good teacher. He will last, endure to the end, as long as you're teachable, as long as you want to know, he'll get it to you, till you catch on. How many know that he has to be real patient? Because some of you are resistant. Some of you are stubborn. Some of you are deaf. Retarded. You know, it's just hard to reach. But Jesus will reach you. I tell you, Jesus loves you so much, he'll reach you. He will get to you. Not going to let anyone perish. Not one will perish. If you want eternal life, he wants it more than you want it. He wants to get it to you more than you want to take it. In fact, you may not even want to take it, but he still wants to give it to you. He's saying to you, trust me, take it, please. Take my salvation. Quickly, take it. The end is about to come. How many know the end is about to come? He's right now harvesting the entire earth. China's being harvested. India's being harvested. Mongolia, Latvia, Estonia, you know, Lithuania. All the earth is being harvested. Uruguay, Paraguay. Everything is being harvested right now. Do you know it? Do you ever hear it on radio or television or read it in a newspaper? Do you realize how many people, thousands and thousands and thousands every day, over 100,000 people every day throughout the earth, come into Jesus Christ? They're not just joining a mainline church. They're coming vitally, being born again, filled with the Spirit, on fire for God. You have no idea what's happening in Nigeria. You have no idea what's happening in India, in Bangalore. You have no idea what's happening in Beijing, everywhere in this world. That's why I like to go. I like to go to see it, to actually experience it, and to realize this is not an American version of something. This is their own. This was done by God. It was wrought in God. The reason why they're able to make it is because we didn't have some Presbyterian. They didn't have some Lutheran, some Roman Catholic, some mainline church giving them all their baloney and nonsense. They just got straight Bible. They were just, you know, just gave it straight. They didn't know any better. We always fancy it up with all our stuff. Collect little donor-based things and so on. Jesus doesn't want that. He just wants to give it out. Freely you have received, freely give. I've never taken dime one off of the mission field. I'm not taking any money from anybody. I don't want any money. I've come to give, not to get. I don't want your money. I mean, they'll sometimes give you a gift and you have to take it because it's a gift. But it's when they're not looking, just drop it back in the bucket. But a lot of ministers really live off of that stuff. I mean, they've got their whole living coming off of, you know, the pygmies up in, you know, Burundi. Hey, you pygmies, if you'll all give a penny, you know. And so they're just totally in love, but they don't have a lot. You'll get a lot of bananas from them. That's what you'll get. And I ate a lot of bananas. They pay you in bananas. They don't have a lot of money. So, you see, go where you won't be appreciated. Go where no one can pay you back. Go where, you know, it's just free. Give it out free. Don't stay around for the picture. Postcard, send back the little stomach with the fly on it. Now, I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm just criticizing. Sorry. You know, a lot of what goes on, I'm not appreciative of. I don't really care that they're making money and all that stuff. What I care about is you're not getting the job done by getting your own glory out of it, getting your own support out of it. Just trust in God. Trust in God. Go make a sacrifice. You're a steward. You're a trustee. You don't get anything. You don't steal the children's bread. Give it away. God gave it to you freely. Give it away. How many know that right here, this is a giving church? How many know that in America, we should be givers, not trying to earn a dollar off of it? The businessmen, they make dollars, and then they give it so we can give it, right? That's the kingdom principle. That's the kingdom giveaway idea. Freely you have received, freely give. I'll tell you, it works. It's great. Mobutu, he was the president of Zaire. He always wanted to give me mansions. He did. He would drive up and down the street and say, you know, that's Oral Roberts' mansion right there. You want the one next to it. It's that's open right there. You want that one? No, sir. Well, what about this one over here? This belongs to so-and-so. No, sir. I don't want that. Well, what's wrong with you? Why don't you want one? I don't want anything, sir. I'm here to share Jesus. Well, they did too. Well, they shared Jesus plus got a mansion. I didn't want that. You know what? He actually can see right through those guys. So he doesn't care. Those are just houses to him. But he was impressed with Peggy and me because we came not to take anything. We never asked for anything. We never got anything. I never took one penny from anybody ever over all the years we've been there. And if a dollar would come into us, we would multiply it. If a dollar goes into most, if not all, other missionary groups, they'll take 90 some cents out of that dollar for light bills and salaries. And only 3 or 4 or 5, 6 cents may go to the native, to the indigenous, to the actual mission field. Are you aware of that? Most of it. All you got to do is ask a simple question if you want to give to some group that you think, well, maybe this is a good group. The television show they just put on looks good. Just ask them, send me a copy of the 2 highest salaries in your organization. Just don't tell me who they are. Just send me a copy of the 2 highest salaries paid in your organization. And you'll discover a huge amount of money goes for home. Very little ever gets to the mission field. So how can you do it that way? This is not right. This is freely given. Freely give it. You can go a lot further if you do it the Lord's way. Are you following me? That's why we go to all the rotten places, all the places no one else wants to go. Go where no one else has been. Go where no one wants to go. Go where it's scary. Go where it's awful. Go where it's terrible. Go where it's falling apart. Go where the food stinks. Go where the sewers are running out in the street. That's why I don't like Peggy to go. But that's where I want to go. I want to go where it's awful. That's when people, I'll tell you, you know what will happen? Those people will appreciate that you came knowing that's not American food, knowing that that's not American sanitation system. They know that. And all they have to offer you is a Coke or something. I don't even drink Coke. No, thank you. I bought some of this on the way in. You know, I got my little bottle of water there. You know, I don't want that. But it's not that I'm turning them down. It's just I don't want the bugs that go along with it. Because I watched how they wash out those Coke bottles afterward, even though it says Coke. I watched them sit on the back porch. And, you know, I've watched them clean it. And I said, you know what? I think I'll just pass on that. And then I sometimes say, sir, you've got to take this. It's our love to you. I said, well, could you give me something else? I'll take the banana over there because the peel, I know, is, so I'll just eat that. And but Chad, I went last time with Chad. He just ate anything because he had all those pills in him and stuff. And I wouldn't do it. I just said, I'm fasting. I'm going to probably be fasting for a few days. And then they confronted me. Well, you know, when it's offered to you, that's a thing in our culture. Well, I'm not from your culture. And if you want me to ever come back again, it would be good for me not to get the bugs you have. Because you guys are used to these bugs. Your kitchen is outdoors. My kitchen is indoors. You know, and we just wash with hot water, and you just wash with whatever kind of water you have. And your people don't die from it, but I would. So you want me to come back? And they understand. And you just have to let them know, I love you, and I intend to stay alive. So that the nice thing I've done for you, I can do again. They understand. But, of course, they have cultural things. So what? Who cares about culture? We don't want to offend their culture. I do. I'll offend their culture. I'll stay alive. Hello. Did you understand what I'm saying? I'm not a romantic. I believe the Holy Spirit makes the way, and I don't really need to sell myself or make a deal or negotiate. I want to live so I can come back. I don't want to just look like I'm spiritual and die. Hello? I don't mind dying. I'm not afraid of dying. I mean, I go into the most God-awful places. I'm not afraid of dying. I don't want to die until Jesus wants me to die. And that's all. So I'm just saying, just make sure it's the Holy Ghost. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it will suffice us. Jesus said, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? I tell you, if in our church everybody would say, I have seen the Father, I would know, wow, the ministry is working. That is the power of God. That every single person could say, I have personally seen the Father. But most people say, well, I haven't seen the Father either. I haven't seen the Father. You have to. Everything is the Father. I don't just pray to Jesus. I also pray through Jesus to the Father. I pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Father. See, that I'm son too. Father. Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit. I'm talking to all of them. They know. And I know the Father. I know He loves me. Father, I know this is your son. This is your son, Jim. I know you love me. I read that in his book. I know you love me because I read that in your book. I remind him of that because he might wonder. You know, you wrote that in your book. You can't change your mind, you know. You're God. So God is stuck. I got him because I got one of his promises. Hey, God, look here where you said you love me no matter what. Look at that. Did you see that? You see that? I point that out to God. That way the devil can't sneak up and say, Jim, you know you've been naughty. You don't have a right to get in here and talk to God. Has that ever occurred to you? Has the devil ever come to you and say, you know, if you would maybe talk tomorrow after you clean up, but you shouldn't say anything today. Not after what you've just thought, what you've just said, what you've done. Has anybody ever had that? You know, when you go to talk to God, the devil's right there saying, what are you doing in here? I was talking to God. Well, he doesn't want to talk to you right now. You better go away. Well, he does too. He wants to talk to me. He said so. Yeah, but look what you just did. I know, but I'm going to rely on the word rather than on my feeling, your accusation. I mean, no, the devil will attack you. He'll get in there and try to keep you from the presence of God. And I agree with the devil, actually. I don't feel like going in and talking to God right now. I'd like to clean up first, do three or four good works, and then come back. But I never seem to catch up. I'll go and do a good work, and then I'll come back in with my good work, and I'll be proud. So then I have to go back out and try to get rid of the pride, and then I'll be proud that I got rid of my pride. And then I just never can win. So I just go in as I am. God, you know I'm full of pride and all that kind of stuff, but here's the deal. You love me, and I love you for loving me. So now that we got that settled, I'm going to worship you, Lord God. And I know you're going to accept my worship because I know the Father. And I know your word. I know that your word is even above your name. I know you exalt your word even above your name. I've got your word here, Father. I've got your obligation. I got your IOU. You obligated yourself. You wrote me a promissory note. Anytime you want to come to me, Jim, come on in. Has anyone ever said that to you? Hey, anytime you're in town, you give me a call. My house is your house. Mikasa, Sukasa, all that kind of thing. Okay, God, I'm in town. Sukasa. I need it. You know, do you have peanuts in your house? Yeah, okay, I'm coming in. I love it when people just say, come on in, it's your house. Woo-hoo! I once went to the embassy in Mozambique. And I looked around and I said, wow, this is a beautiful embassy. You have a nice embassy here. He says, it's not mine. He says, yours. Wow, did I feel at home. Peter John DeVos. I remember, you know, that so impressed me that this government official knew his place. And he knew I was the boss. I loved it. I felt right at home. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? It's not my house. It's not my embassy. It's yours. Whoa, man, I felt good. Because I was in Africa. I was in deepest, darkest Africa. And I wasn't feeling like anything was mine. I was feeling like that little pot out there and it put me in the pot and stirred me up and cooked me. Did you ever feel like that? Those are exactly the thoughts I had. See, I remember the old Tarzan movie, and I thought, that's it. They're going to put me in there. And they, you know, I would be small, and so they would eat me for breakfast or something. Here's a good one. And I think stupid things, but that's all right. All right, now, almost done here. Do you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself. The Father that dwelleth in me doeth the works. Did you see that? Jesus said, the works I do, the words I speak, they're not my words, they're not my deeds. The Father who dwells in me doeth the works. You see, when you do a good work, it isn't you, it's the Father that dwells in you, through the Son, through the Spirit. You didn't do the work, so there's no pride. There's nothing to brag on. You didn't do it. Whenever something's good done, you can't say, well, I did it. You didn't do it. You did nothing. The Father who dwells in me doeth the works, Jesus said. So the Father, through the Son, through the Spirit, dwelling in me, doeth the works. The Holy Spirit's in me to will and to do. I don't even want to do the works, but He's in me to will. So if I want to, that wasn't me, that was Him. And, you know, you might psychologically think you're agreeing with it. Well, no, I agreed with that. Yeah, that's just psychological. Here's what God says. The Holy Spirit's in you to will. So don't say, I willed it. Okay, maybe you did, but that's just psychological. He's in you to will. This is deeper than psychological. This is a spiritual willingness that you don't have except He's in you to will. Therefore, I psychologically will what He willed. Okay, but I don't get any credit for the psychological because the spiritual overrides the psychological. And even if I wasn't willing, I would still be willing because the Holy Spirit's in me willing over my psychological willing or unwilling. So don't even waste time psychologically. Psychology is witchcraft. Psychology, psychologically studying your navel and trying to figure out what your state is not only stupid, which it is, it's evil. It's satanic. We regard no one from a human point of view. Psychology is a human point of view. We regard no one from a human point of view. We once regarded Christ from a human point of view, but we regard Him thus no longer. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, the old is passed away. Psychology is passed away. for us as Christians, psychology is Satan. It's witchcraft. It's evil. And it's the highest form of witchcraft and evil. God has already brought the perfect. There's no need now to return to the elemental spirits of the universe. You now live in the perfect. Speak like, act like, talk like, walk like that which is true. Amen? So I don't have to say to Peggy, like she often says, is, Jim, do you love me? This guy, that's her psychological, you know, like, I know what to say to make her feel happy, but it'd just be a lie. So I'm not going to say I love you. Here's what I'll say. I'll say the truth. Jesus in me loves you. Of course, that's not real romantic. Did you hear that? But it's the truth. And only the truth is going to set you free. You know, if I would say it, who knows what I even mean by it? What would I mean if I said it psychologically? I might mean, well, right now you've been good today, so I love you. You know, or maybe the music is playing, or, you know, who knows what reason, or the spaghetti you fixed tonight was really great, so I love you. It doesn't mean anything. You don't want human love. It means nothing. What you want is Christ in me, Christ in you. That's solid. That's unchangeable. That is not something can be shaken or thrown away. It's more solid. But it does take away all romance. There isn't any romance then. Well, I kind of wanted you to love me. Well, you don't want my love. You want Jesus' love. Jesus' love is all that counts. I'll tell you this. You're a gift of God. But I didn't get that from negotiating with her. I got that from the Word of God that said, the wife I've given you, the wife of your youth, don't toss her away. Love that woman right there. Don't love another. And I don't. I don't love anyone else. That's my wife. Perfect. Perfect. Gift of God. Doesn't look perfect, doesn't act perfect, doesn't talk perfect. But she's perfect. I don't regard myself psychologically. Most of you think a lot about what your thoughts are and your feelings are. I don't care about my thoughts or my feelings. I throw them to the ground. That's what gets everybody in trouble. That's nothing. So you have a thought. You're driving along the road and the policeman's behind you and he starts flashing his lights and you pull over. Your feeling is not, oh, good. Your feeling is, oh, my God, you know, I hate this. That's your feeling. But you don't express that when he rolls down the window and you talk to him and so on. You say, hi, officer. Hallelujah. Good night. You know, you don't want to bribe him or talk to him or anything like that. You just want to get him to sign the thing and, you know, whatever. There's no conversation. You can't negotiate with him. He'll just say, see the judge. Say, you can't talk to him. But you could say, well, I'm a Christian. That's what I always tell them. I'm a pastor. And they often go like this. You're a pastor? Well, kind of don't speed so much here anymore. They let you off like that. So I've learned to look innocent and sweet and say the pastor thing. Because often I am speeding. I'm often speeding. But I don't mean anything by it. I'm often speeding. And that is an area where Jesus and I have some discussions about that. See, because Jesus wants me to trust him, and I'm always late because I'm always behind and so on and so forth. And I've got a lot of reasons, and I could discuss those with him. But he's not interested. Like the policeman, he'll just wrap me out a ticket. I know, tuck that over with the judge. And you don't have a leg to stand on. Hello. So I remain perpetually guilty. I don't know about any of the rest of you, but I am perpetually guilty. David, are you like that? I don't know why I assumed that. I just had that assumption. I just had that assumption. Monty, are you like that? Yeah, I had that assumption. Let's see. Danny, are you like that? Yeah? So I've hit 4 out of 4. I'm not going to do any more because I've got 4 out of 4. Let not your heart ever be troubled about anything. Stop judging everything, thinking everything out, working so hard, trying so hard. Just take the gift. Jesus Christ has gone to the Father for you. The fact that he's there means you're there. You baptize into him, you believe in him, you trust in him, it's over. It's over. Just rejoice. You have nothing left to do now but praise him, thank him, worship him, adore him. And enjoy your life. Enjoy your wife. Enjoy your husband. Enjoy life. Enjoy the church. Enjoy the wicked. Enjoy everything. Enjoy yourself. Rest in the Lord. God is good. God is good. God is good.